Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Hey, Dark Hearts.
Hey, fam.
Long time no talk.
Yeah. If you're listening to these back to back, then you just
heard our voices.
Us. But now we're back again.
We're back. Guess who's
we're back. Guess who? Back again.
Shannon and Cassie are back.
Tell a friend. Guess who's back? Okay. I love Eminem personally. I just have to share that. I'm a big fan. I was in high school. Still am.
He's hit or miss for me. I don't know.
I love him. Love him. Just like I love Scream. So, you know.
I mean, that's awesome. You know.
There's perfect. A look into my life of teenage years, but.
It's all good. That's like, well, speaking of teenage years, you know, we were talking. My husband and I went and saw The Killers at the Steelhouse.
Oh my gosh, I'm so jealous about that.
You were talking about Forever Young was the first song you really remember, but there was the one before it from Hot Fuzz called Somebody Told Me.
Or no, yours was
Mr. Brightside.
Yeah, mine was Mr. Brightside, but I do remember Somebody Told Me That You Had a Boyfriend That Looked Like a Girlfriend
That I Had in February of last year.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
So that
I forgot about that song.
Yeah.
Was that their first album? Sorry, I keep interrupting. Oh.
Yes. And okay. So I think I was a senior or had just graduated when that song came out. It was around that time. I don't even fully remember.
I remember being in college, so that would have been about right for you then.
Talk about feeling old going to that concert, though. And especially because, like I said, I was shocked. Like, okay, yes, I'm 35 now. But there were people who had to have been, like, 50s older there. And I was like...
That's kind of funny. I thought that was more of like our generation's thing. So that does seem odd. I have friends who were there who were maybe like early 40s, but I mean, that's okay. I mean, if you like them and you're old, that's fine too.
Yep. But. I feel even older. Okay. So it was 2004. So 2 years before I graduated high school that first band came or that first album came out, Hot Fuss.
Oh yeah. That's when I graduated high school.
Yep. So yeah. But, so they did have, so that's when it came out, but it, like, one of the best rock songs and best music videos was in 2006. So
yeah, I remember them around, 2005, 2006 was when I really was, like, into them, so that would make sense.
Right, same. I was gonna say, okay, so I wasn't quite wrong, but, so yeah, let's dive back in, I guess, now. Or go ahead.
The last like 10 seconds were completely frozen that you were talking.
Okay. Well, I've noticed that it usually is still going. Like, could you still hear me?
Uh-uh.
Okay, because it'll still record on my end of things.
Oh, okay. I mean, that's good to know. And I don't know if that matters or not, but it was like you were talking and then it just, and then it came back and I was like, and where am I? So I don't know.
All right. Well,
sorry, we're at 3 minutes there, if that's helpful for
we'll
you.
We'll see. Maybe it'll stay in. We'll see how lazy I get with editing.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Nobody cares, right?
Right.
We're real. We mess up. Okay.
Right. This is how we are, you guys.
Yeah.
This is us.
So this is part two, which not really part two for anyone except us, because we're recording
episode
two in
60.
One day. Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's crazy.
Right.
60. Wow. That's cool.
That's
insane.
So again, covering AAPI cases, this week I'm actually covering an unsolved case from St. Paul, Minnesota.
Ooh.
Unfortunately, there's even less information about mine than there was about yours.
Crazy.
I thought for sure there would have been an unsolved mysteries at least about this case.
Right.
I couldn't find anything except for like a YouTube video that someone had put together themselves, you know?
That's wild. Yeah. I couldn't believe for mine that there was even an episode at all. So that doesn't surprise me though, that you couldn't find one for yours then. That sucks though.
Yep. And so like I contemplated, I was like, well, do I still do this? Do I try to find another one? But I also wanted to cover this because one, like this happened in 93, but so January was the 30th anniversary of this young woman going missing.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, it's something that like I wasn't familiar with this. So anytime I was like, I'm just going to talk about it. Like I understand the chances of someone who listens knowing something or figuring
you
out
never
something
know
slim to none. But if they share it and let other people know.
Yeah.
Then, yep. So today I am going to be talking about Hang Lee. And she was born on October 9th of 1975 in a Hmong refugee camp. The YouTube video I watched, which I am going to have linked in the show notes as well, actually gave like a brief history rundown of like what exactly was going on in this region of Asia at the time with the different wars. Like it was called like the Secret War or something because America took part in it, but I don't think it's anything we've ever really learned about. Like we backed these people, but then the Hmong people like backed the American soldiers, but the Americans lost. And so then the Hmong people were like kind of persecuted. And so they were in a lot of like refugee camps and things like that. So shortly after Hang's birth, though, her parents moved to Minneapolis, Minnesota, which I guess it sounds like a lot of refugees ended up there. And I'm curious about how, like, nothing went into like, how do you go to Minnesota, like, of all places?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
is it because it's kind of off the grid, as in the sense of, like, they have a better chance of, like, blending in, starting over? I don't know.
I don't know. And I guess I'm like, I don't know what it's like to be a refugee. So
right.
Maybe there are programs set up and it's just like these places are like, hey, we'll take who needs a
maybe
place
the
to
Midwest
live.
Nice people, you know, I mean,
right.
Midwest kind, heartland kind. There you go. That's what I was shooting for.
So they lived in Minnesota, but being refugees, and especially since her parents really didn't speak much English, the family was poor. They lived in government housing. Hang was a first generation English speaker, you know, and she spoke both English and the Hmong language.
Wow.
She did really well in school. And in 1993, she was 17 and she was a senior at high school. And she planned to attend University of Minnesota. She loved heavy metal and like 80s rock. And she definitely has that like rock punker look. Like
yeah.
I loved some of the pictures with that like.
I love that.
Big but like choppy hair.
Yeah.
Thick black eyeliner.
That's awesome.
Her brother, Kua, who was 2 years younger, said she always dressed, like, really cool. And
that's
they liked
fun.
To listen to, like, rock music together and stuff. So she also worked part-time at the Wong Cafe. Just, like, you know, doing odd jobs. I think she did, like, cashier, but also, like, dishwashing and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just trying to help her family out with finances. But obviously she didn't make a lot of money there. So she asked all of her friends like, hey, does anyone know of any jobs?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she just wanted to be able to help her family and she was trying to save money for college as well. So one friend, Kia, who was known as Nikki Lee, she was no relation to them. She worked as a receptionist at a painting company and said her boss was looking to hire. So she volunteered to take Hang to meet him for an interview. So Hang leaves her house around 6 p.m. on January 12th of 1993. But before she left, she told her younger brother, Kua, who was 15 at this time, that if she didn't return, quote, come looking for me, I don't trust Nikki.
That's comforting.
Yeah. Unfortunately,
yikes.
Hang did not return. So her gut instincts were correct.
Jeez.
Of course, police just wrote her off as a runaway, which I guess she had run away once before, but like she never didn't show up to work.
Yeah.
And she didn't show up for a shift. And, you know, also her parents are trying to push this, but because they have limited English.
Yeah.
That's not really helping them at all either.
No. And back then they probably really, I mean, it's bad now even, but I feel like back then they probably were like, I mean, I don't care.
Right.
Why would
and
help you?
So Kua did, like, he went and confronted Nikki and he was like, hey, and he like, I did come across like a little news article that showed like a clip and they interviewed the brother, you know, and he was like, I went up to her and I was real polite and I was just like, hey, where's my sister? You know, like what's going on?
Like,
and she got
yeah.
super angry and defensive and was like, I haven't seen her. I don't know what you're talking about. And so she ends up telling police that instead of taking Hang to the job interview, she dropped her off with some of her, quote, white friends who Nikki didn't know.
Oh.
So police were like, okay, well, this confirms that she ran away.
Uh-huh. Lazy.
Except Hang had been saving cash for school, which was still in her bedroom. She never picked up her most recent check from the cafe. And her purse, which also had a knife and a steel ball in it that she used for self-defense, which I was like, when they said steel ball, I was how big is this steel ball?
Yeah, like, are we talking like so shot curious. Put? Like, what right, is going on?
That was my first thought. I'm like, damn. I mean, like, good for you.
She's not messing around, okay?
No. But unfortunately, she didn't take that with her that night. So I don't know how they're not like, if she had ran away, wouldn't she taken all of those things?
Yeah, like, why would she not take money? Like, that doesn't make any sense.
No. How was this not like, hey, we should do this right away?
Right.
So it wasn't until 6 months later that Nikki changes her story. She tells police she said that she ran away partly because it was wishful thinking and she was hoping Hang would show back up, but also because her boss had told her to lie and she was frightened of him. So okay. Nikki here admits that she thought it was weird when her boss asked if she knew of anyone looking for a job because the company wasn't busy and she often had nothing to do. She also remarked that oftentimes young teenage boys would come to the business and her boss would take them into his office and lock the door.
Okay, that doesn't sound suspicious at all. That sounds normal things.
Right. I guess he also talked to her a lot about modeling and how he had a friend who could get her work as a model. He even took a couple of pictures of her, like her as a Nikki, to quote-unquote show his friend, but nothing ever came of it, so she doesn't actually know whatever happened to those pictures.
Gross. Sounds like a dirty man. Man.
Oh, just wait. We'll find out. So despite all of this, she says she still says she'd introduce Hang because she knew she was looking for work. So her boss is a man named Mark Stephen Wallace. She said they met up with him at the company and then he offered to take them both home. And so this is where I kind of got confused too, because if Nikki picked Hang up, like, where's her car?
Right.
And this is something that's just never really addressed in either of the things. And again, there's not a ton of information. So I got kind of confused there.
Right. Yeah, that's confusing. But I guess if it's that old of a case too, there's probably going to be like discrepancies between stories.
And so like, I guess I also don't know if by picking Hang up, she just like met her and they took a bus together or something, you know?
Right, right.
I don't know. So he says he's going to drive these girls home, right? So he drops Nikki off first, and that's the last time she sees Hang. She then gets a lawyer and refuses to speak to the police or even the press. After giving this information, she's like, I'm done.
That's so weird when people do that. Like, I feel like you hear about that more and more. It's like, that just makes you look more guilty. But, I mean, sometimes it's not the case, and I don't know.
Yeah.
It's just weird. But okay.
Yep. So of course, police interview Wallace, and he told police that he did meet up with the girls. He interviewed Hang, then he dropped Nikki off, and then he dropped Hang off near the cafe where she worked. And after that, he lawyered up and didn't talk to police again.
Okay.
So they find out Wallace actually has a criminal record. He had 2 charges for sexual assault. One of the victims was a 16-year-old girl who he had told he had a job for and was taking her to the interview location. So he then assaulted her, told her if she told anyone he'd kill her and her family. There was also numerous other like reports of sexual assaults, but none that he had been like charged for. Ew. So it was just
it's clearly
two.
Like he has a pattern then of two that are on the record, but we know that that's not where it ended probably.
No. So he served less than 3 years. Then he was out on supervised release. And that ended 1 week before Hang disappeared.
Wow.
Yeah. So
1 week. You couldn't even... Wow.
Yeah. So police finally get a search warrant for his house and his office and his vehicle. But, like, one of the detectives in, like, the news thing was, like, you know, it had been 6 months and the first 48 hours are the most crucial. It's like, yeah, but you guys dropped the ball.
Yeah, and you guys didn't do anything in the first 48 hours, hence yeah. the problem.
Yep. So they didn't find anything in any of his stuff. And with him Weird. Denying involvement, there was nothing they could do. So the case went cold. Then in 2009, Wallace's house goes into foreclosure. So since he doesn't own it, police can just get permission from the bank to search it again.
Oh, okay.
And apparently there was a detached garage that went up, I think it was like in 2004 or something like that. So it was a while after Hang had disappeared.
Yeah.
But the neighbor was like, it popped up like overnight. He was like, I've never seen a garage go up that quickly. So they were like, okay, he's hiding something here, right? So they bring in cadaver dogs and like three of them hit on the same spot in the garage, like identifying that there would be a corpse there. So they decide to drill some holes into the cement so the dogs can get a better scent before they like actually dig it all up.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, now only one dog hits on this.
Hmm.
So
but there's still a hit, but not enough.
But not enough for them to justify being able to go in and tear this up. And then it goes cold again.
Bummer.
So then in August of 2016, Wallace flees a traffic stop. Police chase him down and he's found in a motel. And this is in a different, I forgot to write down, it's somewhere else in Minnesota. But police kick in the motel door and upon entering, they find this young 21-year-old woman who's malnourished and clearly having, she's been physically abused.
Jeez.
They never identify her, but she, you know, told police that Wallace was the father of a friend from high school and that she had nowhere to live. So Wallace said she could live with him and in exchange, she cleaned his house, right? But eventually he started to get verbally and physically abusive.
Okay.
And I don't know how she came to be with him because like I think she left. I think there was even like a restraining order or something like that.
Hmm.
I don't know how we got to this point where she's now with him. He clearly took her right. or something.
Yeah.
Nothing is brought up about any sexual assault charges against, like that he sexually assaulted her. But he had like... There was a minor drug charge. He got a kidnapping charge and a couple other, but it came down to that he ended up just getting charged with kidnapping. But she did tell police that she knew that he was a person of interest in the Hang Lee case. And she supposedly asked him about it. So according to her, he told her that, quote, Hang went into his office and never left it, end quote. She also said that he threatened, quote, he would do to her what he did to Hang and that he knew how to get rid of blood. So unfortunately, like nothing's ever done about these. I don't think that they had any way of like proving that these things were said or police didn't take it seriously. I mean, I don't know if this young woman did drugs or anything like that, but I know a lot of times in situations like that, sometimes police won't take, you know, that seriously either. We've seen that in other instances. So he's just charged with felony kidnapping and he's given just a 54-month sentence. So like 3 years in jail.
That's nothing. It's a slap on the wrist.
Especially after everything he's already done. There is a bright side to this though. Thankfully, before his 3 years were up, a prosecutor asked that he be committed to the Minnesota Sex Offender Program in Moose Lake. If committed, he would not be able to leave unless he was deemed fully rehabilitated. And at the time that the article that I read, they said that there's only ever been 16 people who've gone into that program who have been deemed fully rehabilitated. So the detectives who were working on Hang's case testified about his prior charges and the cases of other alleged sexual assaults that he had never been charged for. So a judge does deem him a sexually dangerous and sexually psychopathic personality. And psychiatrists have said that it's unlikely he will ever be rehabilitated. So this is pretty much a life sentence for him.
Yeah, because you can't train an old dog new tricks, or is that the saying? New tricks, new dog, old dog. You can't
teach an old dog new tricks. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, he's not going to change people. Right. No.
But I'm also like, why doesn't every state have this for sex offenders, where it's like you can petition to have a sex offender put into this place and not be allowed out again unless they're right. Fully rehabilitated.
Right.
So Hang's family did hold a spirit release ceremony in 2016 for her as well. And this is an important ceremony in the Hmong culture, as it allows the spirit to visit the family one more time before being released to be reincarnated. This is usually done shortly after a funeral, but since Hang had been missing, her dad refused to do it. I think he was holding out hope still that she could potentially still be alive. But eventually he, you know, was like, I think they had said in one of the things that in like 2013, he was like, we should hold this. And I don't know, because he talked about how her father has passed, and I don't know if he was there for that ceremony or if it happened mm-hmm. after he passed. But the news clip interviewed, like I said, her brother, and the YouTube one mentions how her mother said she forgives whoever was involved in her disappearance. She just wants her daughter's body so she can give her a proper funeral.
Like, and come on, that's the thing.
And that's just it. And Wallace still denies that he had anything to do with her disappearance. It's like one of those things where they're fairly certain it was him, but unfortunately, he's still just a person of interest. He's not even a suspect because they don't have enough. And so I forgot to mention this, but Hang was last seen wearing black leather jacket, black pants, and a black Skid Row shirt, which Skid Row was her favorite band.
I can just picture that, like this rocker chick. Like,
oh, she was. Like, yeah, the pictures, I'm just going to post pictures of her, and she's rocker babe 100%.
Hey, Dark Hearts. We wanted to tell you about one of our favorite products that helps keep you safe and also gives you peace of mind.
She's Birdie is a cool little device that is small enough you can hook it on a keychain, bag, or even just carry it.
There are two different types of birdies. The original birdie, when activated, chirps very loud. Trust me, it's ear piercing. We've tried it. And also has an intense strobe light that helps deter attackers and gets the attention of potential bystanders.
The She's Birdie Plus is a Bluetooth-enabled device that connects to an app on your phone that gives you 24/7 support where live reps are available. It can also send you a faint call to get out of an uncomfortable situation, as well as provide GPS location to your chosen contacts. This birdie does require a subscription you can either pay monthly or annually.
The best part is you can get 15% off your order when you use the code DARKHEARTS15.
Check out shesbirdie.com to see what fun colors and patterns you can purchase.
Stay Heartland kind and be extra Darkland wary with your new birdie.
So then in 2021, police did return to Wallace's former home and do a 3D scanning of the garage, like the ground and stuff. Unfortunately, Hang's body was not found and there was no evidence that could lead to an arrest. So like I said, Wallace is still a person of interest. It sounds like he's the only person of interest.
Yeah. And like with her, it makes you wonder because she just seems like badass. Like she would fight back or reject him or whatever, where
yeah.
pushed him over the edge. You know what I mean? Like I don't, yeah. just based on what you said about her, that sounds like something she would do where it just like pissed him off. But
exactly. And I wonder if Nikki ever got any sort of like charge for like lying to police or anything, you know, or if they just didn't even bother with it. Nothing's ever brought up really about Nikki again. The news article did mention how they reached out to her when they were like, hey, he's here pretty much for life, and she was like, good, that's where he belongs. But like she refused to say anything more to the press. There's a part of me that wonders if she knows more than she's willing to say.
Well, and especially with the fact that she said that she didn't trust Nikki or whatever, and was like, if I don't come back, you know, it makes you wonder too. She doesn't seem like, I mean, if she had that feeling, something had to
Something had to have happened beforehand between them. There had to be some reason that she didn't trust Nikki. And it's just, It's really sad, but I will say anyone with tips in Lee's case can contact the St. Paul Police at 651-266-5612 or Crime Stoppers at 800-222-847. Which I feel like there's a number missing on that because there should be a fourth, but I will link it in the show notes.
Yeah, I mean, even though it's been a long time, I feel like some of these cases, someone still knows something, and sometimes people like... as they're nearing, like as they get older, even sometimes they come forward because they have like a guilty conscience or some random thing will be found somewhere, you know?
Right.
And so I think it's good to keep talking. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. So, I mean, hopefully, you know, her family gets some closure. They can find out what happened to her.
Yeah.
That's just with, you know, at least, I mean, I don't want to say it's heartbreaking that like Ying Ying's parents don't have her body, but at least they know.
Right. They at least have, like, they got a confession.
Yeah.
And even if that wasn't the case, well, with the DNA and stuff. And
yes.
That, but like, yeah, they would still have some sort of closure where in this case, there's nothing to go off of.
Which in the interview, her brother even says at this point, he doesn't even care about a conviction. He wants to know what happened to his sister. You know,
right.
And
it has to just be the worst. Like, you know, even if they're dead, that's terrible. But like, you can't even really start that moving on process, I feel like, until
you know for sure. Because I feel like there's always going to be a part of you that slightly, like, no matter how much you rationally know, I feel like there's a part of you that will still be like, but maybe.
Yes, I agree. Like, one day they could walk in the door and it could have just been this big, like, they did run away. Which,
yeah,
you generally know a person well enough. The people close to them would know. But,
yeah,
you still want to always have that hope, I think.
Yeah. So, that's the disappearance of Hang Lee. I wish there was more information. I wish...
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of things. But unfortunately, like I said, one, it's an older case. But also, you know, we have a young woman who, of course, one... being a young Asian woman, but then also being into that rocker scene, you know.
I like
where,
that.
You know, sure, that's a...
like an unsolved mystery, especially with all the, like, criminal records stuff.
Wallace,
there you go.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, with all of that going into it, like, I think there would be a bigger need for that to be on something. And I'm sure.
I mean, yeah. I'm shocked.
They probably tried, but.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe if we get a new Netflix season of Unsolved Mysteries, maybe it'll finally be on there.
I know. It should. I mean, I know there's a million unsolved cases, but.
Yeah.
That's a very sad one, too.
It is. So, like I said, as I had said in last episode, mine wasn't going to be very long, but I still felt it was important to cover this one.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because we have reached 30 years of her disappearance.
Jeez.
And her family has no answers.
Sad, or on a side note, this is when you said 30 years ago, I was like, gosh, we're way back in the 70s. Then I was like, well, 30 years ago is not the 70s anymore, Shannon. Like,
it was 93.
I just lose track of like how old I am. And I feel like 30 years will always be like the 70s. You know,
I know.
It doesn't matter how old I get.
No, okay. It'll always be 70s.
When you said something about 90, like three, I was like, oh, right. Mm-hmm.
I know.
Glad I didn't ask what year we were in because I was back in 79 or.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Listen, that's like, at work last week, I was talking to one of the front desk girls, and we were talking about The Descendants, right? The Disney movies.
Oh, I love The Descendants movies.
And I was like, yeah, I'm super excited because in the fourth one, Brandy and Prince Charming are reprising their roles.
Is there a fourth one coming out?
There's going to be, and Brandy and him are reprising their roles from the Whitney Houston Cinderella. And she looked at me and she goes, what are you talking about? I was like, the Brandy and Whitney Houston Cinderella that was directed TV on ABC Family on a Sunday night. It was a big deal.
How long
ago
was that?
I go, were you even born yet? She looked it up. No, it came out the year before she was born. I want to say it was like 93 or 97 or something like that. Yeah, she wasn't born yet. talk about feeling old. I was like, I remember specifically this being advertised, making sure home in time that Sunday night to watch it.
Yep. I remember that, and it was amazing. Still is amazing. But wow. Yeah.
And you can watch it on Disney Plus. So if you haven't watched it.
Oh, yeah.
It's on there now. I watched it a ton because my daughter, when she was colicky and stuff, like, we watched that so much. It was for free on YouTube. We watched it so much that it got ads because of how free. It was the only thing. That girl would be fussing and crying and screaming. And that was the only thing. I'd be up at like 2 a.m. with this movie playing.
That's so funny. Because it
was the only way she would sleep. And I was just like.
That's so funny and amazing.
When she told me, she was like, I don't know what you're talking about. I was like, I'm sorry. It came out in 97. So yeah, this girl was born in 98. I was like, okay, I'm 10 years older than you.
Yep. That's disgusting.
Yep. I was like, how? She's like, that's crazy. I haven't seen it. I love all the Cinderellas. I'm like, yeah, I don't know how you haven't, but thank you for making me feel ancient right now.
Yeah. I did not even think it was that old. I think I'm stuck in a time zone of like, I'm not getting older. So
no, not at all.
It's not happening.
No. So, okay. Well, so we talked about
great.
Movies and shows. What books?
What did I read? Well, I finished, I think it was called The Night She Disappeared.
Okay.
By Lisa Jewell, maybe. Wow. That was really good.
Yeah.
It was a longer thriller, but it was one where I was like, oh, okay. I can't put this down because now I really need to know. Like, there were so many things about it. It was a really good book. That was really long, and I was kind of busy, so that was pretty much one of the only ones that I really read since. Okay. I mean, I know I've read other ones, but not worth mentioning. Like, they weren't that great, I guess. That one was good, though.
Before I get into, like, what I have read, FYI, I meant to tell you, Book Outlet right now has a $6.99 fiction sale.
Yeah, thank you for telling me that for real, because now
there's over 600 pages of books on there.
What?
Also, don't buy, well, unless you want to, but I did buy, they had two of Alice Feeney's books, the one who wrote Rock, Paper, Scissors, so I bought them.
She's a great author.
But I was like, I loved that first one, so, and also I got them, so I placed an order yesterday where they had the more you buy, the more you save.
Yes.
And then I saw this 69 fiction sale, and I bought more.
Yep. I am trying to looking. Oh yeah, fiction back, $6.99.
Yeah. So I did get, so for like thrillers, I got The Wrong Place, Wrong Time by
that's on my list. I've been wanting to read that one. Okay, that's funny. It just popped up right on mine as we see. Yeah, there it is. Mm-hmm.
I also got Just Like Home, which is a horror book that I've heard is really good. And it's funny because it's a very like pink cutesy cover.
Oh, I love that.
So, and then I got some rom-com-y ones and stuff too. But yeah, so I got two of Alice Feeney's books as well.
Good. You'll have to let me know because I loved the way she wrote in the Rock, Paper, Scissors. Did you get Daisy Darker?
No, I did not. Oh, wait.
That's
wait,
one of hers on there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I got anything of hers.
You did. It up, okay.
And the two that they had of hers I got. So it was... Yes, it would have been that Daisy Darker, and then there was another one. Hold on, let me tell you right now.
I know, that one just, like, popped up when I was looking.
I Know Who You Are.
Oh, right. Because I've seen those listed, and I'm like, okay.
So those are the only two Book Outlet had. I did get those.
Anything by Frida McFadden? Fadden? I don't know.
Yeah.
She's the one who wrote The Housemaid, and
amazing. And that's someone else.
I have
told
the first
me.
Two of okay. them, and I read them in like a day. So, well, and the second one just came out like in February.
Nice. Well, because then that's also the one I told you someone had commented. Because FYI, people, I make a book talk TikTok thing, and so I had talked about Rock, Paper, Scissors, and someone else commented it and recommended a book of hers that's supposed to be similar to it. So, yes. So at least the Alice Feeney ones and the Wrong place, wrong time, or whatever, don't buy. I have them. You can borrow.
Mm-hmm. Perfect. Don't buy the house-made ones because I have those.
I won't.
I actually just got them back from someone else. I've had like 5 people borrow them. Yeah. And now I need to get myself a stamp so I can stamp my books.
Mm-hmm. Heck yeah. But yeah, so what I have read is I finished listening to The Last Hero, which was like the third book in a series I had been listening to. I really enjoyed it. Sci-fi more so. I did read The Dead Romantics, which was like a rom-com-y.
Did you like it, right?
Cute. Yes. It was, I thought, I was like, okay, that's right. It's probably going to be a cheesy cute one. A little bit. It was adorable. It covered some heavy themes, but in a more lighthearted way. Like it was surprisingly good. Like I thought it would be a fun, lighthearted read, and it was, but there was more depth to it than I expected.
Okay. That's good. So
that was a really cute one. But right now I'm reading Dire Wood by Catherine Yu because it's AAPI month. Look at that stunning cover.
Oh, that is good. That is really pretty.
So that's a horror one. And then I'm listening to She Who Became the Sun, which is like kind of a Mulan-esque retelling type thing. Narrator's phenomenal with that one. Mulan. So that's where I'm at right now. But yeah, wow. I totally meant to send you the thing about the $6.99 fiction sale.
I'm like adding to my cart, like it's going out of style here. I need to calm down.
It's so hard because like, so between my two orders, I think I got 15 books and 4 of them were hardbacks.
Nice. And what do you have to spend to get free shipping?
Like, 35, which is super easy to do.
Yeah. That's so easy to do. And that's pretty low. Like, I mean, because books are like heavy to ship. I mean, so I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, so I just bought 15 books for less than what the 4 hardcovers would have cost at full price.
Right. Totally. Hardcovers are so expensive. $20. Like, I mean, easy.
I just, listen, I have so many more I could have bought. It takes me forever to go back and forth. But then, today I was like, okay, Cassie, you can't go through every single page. You just bought some. So let's stop ourselves here. You're at the free shipping.
Yeah. That's where I'm going to have to reel myself back because I need to see how long this lasts because I should probably not just like jump into it. But you know. I'm going to.
So yeah, you guys, that's where we're at. Those are the books.
That's that. The books, the shows, that's it.
Social medias, I will discuss this time.
Yep.
They are all linked. You have our website, which is phenomenal now. Thank you, Shannon.
Oh, why thank you. Thank you for all the things you do. Thank you. Teamwork.
Yeah. And then Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. On TikTok, I just post like little, like we record video. There's video of us and I just post little blurbs of it.
And they're never flattering. So don't judge us based on what we look like when we record. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. Like,
I'm always like, oh my gosh, I look like that. But I also am like, super don't care when we're recording, so
right. And ever. I'm like, listen, I wish I knew how to make it like so we could have a whole YouTube, like our whole episode was up on YouTube, because I know there are people who specifically only do podcasts that way.
Yeah,
the visual thing. One day, maybe we'll get there.
Yeah, maybe someday.
We're not there right now.
I literally was just going to say we're not there yet. So.
So those are all, you can email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. We still would love any of your stories, true crime, paranormal, creepy, what have you. Like, we want to hear it.
So you can message them to us on any of them. You can email us. We did make a new form you can fill out. You can either find that, it's on our social media. We have it on there. But then also, if you just go to our website at the bottom, there's like submit a story or I don't even know, share your story, something or another.
There's a button to click.
Yeah. It makes it so much easier because then we can just keep them all in one spot.
Yeah.
So if you do find your way to that, we would love to hear it. Even if you think it's something that big or just something weird that happened, with someone following you and something creepy came from that, you know what I mean? Something just little. Anything. I don't care. I want to know.
Yes. We want to know all the stories. And at this point, it would be nice if it was mid, you know, Heartland area, but yeah, if we're on the outskirts.
Right. It's fine. We just want to hear them anyways, because if we have enough of like listener stories, we can do an episode on just those. And that's fun.
Exactly. So yeah.
And it makes us feel like, you know, other people, sorry. Yep. Getting no, nothing. I was going to say, it's nice to know when there's other people that also are just as paranoid about us or as us about things like happening to them. And
yeah.
I mean, that was all I was going to say.
I mean, let's face it though. If people are listening to us, they're probably not all of them, but a good chunk of them are probably just as paranoid as we are.
Oh, absolutely. So let's hear those stories.
Yeah.
And now I'm done, Cassie. Sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Sorry. I didn't mean to. It just felt like a good spot. And then I was like, oh, she's still talking.
Nope. Right? She's going. She's just going rogue, going off script.
I misjudged. Yeah.
It's fine. Like I'm done now.
It's not like we ever have an actual script. We're just like, oh, this feels right. All right.
Yeah. I just talk and I'm just like, someone's going to listen. And I'm just real tired today. And we've been recording a lot and stuff today and researching. So my brain is like, yeah, just stop talking. It's telling me I need to cut it off now before I just
so on
vomit.
That note, stay Heartland kind,
but Darkland wary.